Some people believe that the world is getting better. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but it is not. It is getting worse and worse every day. We live in a cold world, totally insensitive to the needs of others. Citizens witness crimes and say, "Oh, what a shame," and do absolutely nothing about it. They never try to help anyone in trouble anymore. Even worse than that, people cheer watching violence, watching someone getting beat up or someone being raped. It is inconceivable what gang members demand of those who wish to join their gang. Some initiations are horrible. Innocent people get hurt. Young people's hearts today are totally insensitive and callous. In the Old Testament, in Hosea chapter 4, God brought a charge against the inhabitant of the land. And he said in verse 2, "There is no truth, no mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying, killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break all restraint with bloodshed after bloodshed." Then verse 3 says, "Therefore the land will mourn, and everyone who dwells there will waste away." Do you think that there is truth, mercy, or knowledge of God in our land today? Not at all. Swearing and lying, killing, stealing, committing adultery, those things are widespread in our land. What does God expect from people? Three things. He told us in Micah chapter 6, verse 8. And if you don't like the Old Testament, if you don't read the Old Testament, you would not get this information. This is from the Old Testament that I read. And again, Micah 6, 8 tells us what God requires of us. Three simple things. Number one, to do justly. Number two, to love mercy. And number three, to walk humbly with your God. Pretty simple. These three expectations are found in the first five Beatitudes. Number one, hungering and thirsting for righteousness in verse 6 is doing justly. It is desiring to do what is right. Number two, being poor in spirit, verse 3. Mourning, verse 4. Being meek, verse 5, is walking humbly with our God. And number three, being merciful, verse 7, is to love mercy. This morning in our text, Jesus is going to talk about this last one, about mercy, loving mercy, which is another thing that leads to happiness. It is one way to be happy. So please turn to our text. We are still in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 7, as we continue where we stop. Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Or, "Oh, how happy are those who love mercy, they shall obtain mercy." So far, we have covered three attitudes defined in the Beatitude. First was our attitude towards ourselves, poor in spirit. Then our attitude towards sin, broken, mourning over it. And then our attitudes toward God, meek, hungry, and thirsty for righteousness. Today we will take the fourth attitude, our attitude towards others. And there are three things in that category. Then we will end with the last one, our attitude towards the world. The first thing to do in our attitude towards others is being merciful. God has two kinds of attributes. One kind is called absolute attributes. The other one is relative attributes. The absolute attributes describes how God is apart from his creation. And there are three of them. The first one, God is love. Even if there would be not one human being in the world showing the love of God, still God is love. That's how he is. It cannot be changed. God is love. The second attribute is God is truth. Even if not one human being would recognize it or believe it, still God is truth. That cannot be changed. That's how he is. And the third one is God is holy. Even if not one human being would admit it or accept it, still God is holy. That is how he is. These absolute attributes cannot be changed, regardless of what people feel or say or think. Now, the relative attributes are different. When man was created, God transmitted some of his attributes to man. God is faithful. God is just. He is long-suffering. He is great, gracious. He is merciful. These are relative attributes or spiritual bridges that God has built so that he can relate to you and me, and we can relate to each other. Mercy is the spiritual bridge. Mercy is a bridge that we must build if we are going to relate lovingly to others. Of all the qualities of God, mercy is the one we need most. The level of rude behavior in the United States has been rising over the past few years and may have reached epidemic proportion. A new study by Public Agenda, a nonprofit, nonpartisan research group, says that 79% of Americans agree that a lack of courtesy on the highways is a serious national problem. I am amazed how rude people are on the road. Drivers absolutely refuse to let anyone in front of them. You can have your turn signal on for a long time. They won't let you in. There is a lack of courtesy on the highways. Two car thieves in Denmark turned themselves to the police to avoid the wrath of the angry victim of their crime. The owner of the car witnessed the robbery. They stole his car. So he quickly hopped into another car and began chasing the criminals. According to the local paper, when the 19 and 21-year-old thieves realized that the victim was chasing them, they decided to call the police and turn themselves in instead of facing the angry car owner. They arranged for the police to pick them up at a nearby intersection. So even though the thieves fear the police, they recognized that they were more likely to have mercy and protection from the authorities instead of the men that they had just victimized. Francis of Assisi was terrified of one thing, the one thing that don't exist anymore. He was terrified of leprosy. And one day, in a very narrow path that he was traveling, he saw in the sunshine a leper. And instinctively he withdrew from the contamination of that disgusting disease. But then, ashamed of himself, he ran and he cast his arm around the sufferer's neck and he kissed him and he went on. And a moment, an instant later, he turned and looked back and there was no one there, only the empty road. And all his days thereafter, he was sure it was no leper that he showed mercy to, but it was Jesus Christ whom he had met. Now, what is the difference between justice, mercy, and grace? Justice is getting what we deserve. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. Grace is getting what we do not deserve. Justice is the heart and soul of the law. Mercy is the heart and soul of the gospel. He who shows no mercy destroys the bridge over which he himself must pass. A kid did something bad and he deserved punishment. That is justice. But his father does not punish him. That is mercy. Instead, he takes the kid to a ball game. That is grace. God in his grace gives us what we do not deserve. In his mercy, he does not give us what we deserve. So in a sense, grace is positive while mercy is negative. Mercy pities while grace pardons. Big difference. On May 10, 1865, Jefferson Davis, president of the Confederation, was captured by the Union soldiers near Irwinsville, Georgia. 12 days later, he was imprisoned at Fort Monroe on the coast of Virginia. The capture of Davis ignited passions from both sides, the North and the South. The Northerners wanted him executed for leading the rebellion that lasted for years. They wanted justice. The Southerners wanted him released to start the healing of the nation. They wanted mercy. In 1866, he was indicted for treason. Incredibly, one group of men and women petitioned for the release of Davis from prison. Who were they? They were his former slaves at his Mississippi cotton plantation. They thought it best to show Davis mercy rather than justice. In 1867, Davis was released. He never went to trial for any crime. He became a businessman and he traveled much, speaking out for reconciliation. And he died of natural cause in 1889. But mercy far exceeds justice. And that's what the Lord Jesus is asking us to be. Merciful. We must be careful not to misunderstand this little verse. It is possible to be tripped. Jesus is not referring to the mercy of salvation that God gives to a believing sinner. He is not describing the way of salvation here. He does that in other places, but here he gives us the signs and the proof of the work of grace in a soul. To say that we must be merciful in order to obtain mercy from God, and that our only hope to get mercy from God is by first being merciful to others, is misunderstanding the text. This is not at all what Jesus means. We must keep the context. We are dealing here with our attitude towards others, not our attitude towards God. The legalistic view opposes the fundamental doctrine of justification by faith in Jesus Christ. We do not need to do anything to receive justification. It is by faith. We do not need to be merciful in order to be saved. Those who insist that salvation is by work, they appeal to this verse. And they put a lot of questions under heavy condemnation. Who are those who obtain mercy in our text? Those who have extended mercy to others. The blessing is to the merciful with others. The blessing is to obtain mercy from others, not from God. Merciful people realize that since they have received mercy from God in the past, having all of their sins forgiven, then they realize that they must extend mercy to others. Professional golf Ian Husnam was tied for the lead on the last day of the 2001 British Open. Husnam, whose career had been sliding for years, knew that time was running out for him to win a major tournament. As he stood on the second tee on Sunday morning, having nearly made a hole in one, he turned to his caddy, Miles Byrne, for his club, only to hear Miles say, "You're going to go ballistic." "Why?" Woosman asked. "Because we've got two drivers in the bag," the caddy replied. Woosman knew immediately what those words implied. Only 14 clubs are allowed, and they obviously had too many. An immediate two-stroke penalty, and Woosnam lost the tournament. And it would be easy to assume that a golfer with so much on the line would have immediately fired that caddy. But instead he said, and I quote him, "It's the biggest mistake he will make in his life. He won't do it again. He's a good caddy. He will have a severe talking to when I get in, but I'm not going to fire him." Woosnam was a merciful man. "He shall obtain mercy from others," God says. So it is not a reference to receiving mercy from God. Others will be merciful with him. So to be merciful with others means to be aggressively compassionate. In one sense, it means to withhold punishment from offenders who deserve it. And in a wider sense, it means to help others in need who cannot help themselves. God showed mercy to us. Every one of us, any one of us here can say, "God has showed mercy to me. He saved us from the judgment that our sin deserved and demonstrated kindness to us through the saving work of Jesus." We imitate God when we have compassion. Mercy is the quality of God that we need the most. If we are merciful with others, then when we fall, when we need help, we will find people who are merciful to us. This is the promise here. But if we are not merciful, if we are not gracious, but we are arrogant, mean, and cold, then when we fall, when we need help, look out. People are going to cut us to pieces. They will not show what we have not shown others. What does it mean to be merciful? People think that being merciful means to be easygoing, not mention any bad things, pretending not to see anything. Others think that it is smiling at transgression and say nothing at law breaking. Not at all. Being merciful is having a heart disturbed and grieved by the misery of others. The Greek word means to get inside someone else's skin and see through their eyes, to have compassion for them. Mercy is more than a feeling. It is a principle. It not only moves the heart, it also moves the hands to help. Mercy is an indispensable characteristic for a Christian. To be merciful includes being kind to the poor. No merciful person forgets the poor and the sick. The merciful person cannot see their sufferings without sympathy, without trying to do something, trying to help out. The merciful does not simply say that he sympathizes and hope that someone will help. He gives joyfully and cheerfully of his substance according to his ability, trying to help. The merciful has an eye for those mourning. The worst affliction in the world today is not poverty. It is a depressed spirit. Many people are depressed. Some believers simply get out of the way of such folks. They do not want to talk with these people. They avoid them, not the merciful. The merciful is compassionate. He is kind-hearted to these people. He puts up with their whims, and he seriously desires to comfort them. He remembers the scriptures that say, "Comfort my people," says the Lord. The merciful extends forgiveness to those who offend him. He is merciful with the sinful rather than being judgmental. To compare the meek in verse 5 with the merciful in verse 7, the meek man endures the wrong. The merciful man forgives it. The more righteous a man is, the more merciful he will be. The more sinful a man is, the more judgmental and critical he will be. Shortly after Queen Victoria obtained the throne of England, the Lord Chamberlain presented to her several documents that required her signature. Among them was a paper pertaining to a man who had committed a crime and who had been sentenced to death. The Queen's signature was needed for his execution to be carried out. She was only 18 years old. So the 18 years old Queen asked, "Must I become a party to his death?" "I'm afraid so," the Chamberlain replied. "Unless your majesty desires to exercise her royal prerogative of mercy." To her delight, she was informed that she had the power to pardon that condemned man. And she said, "As an expression of the spirit in which I desire to rule, I will exercise my royal prerogative." She wrote the word "pardon" on the document, and the prisoner was set free. She was merciful when she had the power to execute that man. Again, we can see a clear order in the Beatitude. You cannot avoid seeing that clear order. First is poor in spirit, verse 3. A believer will never rise to become merciful until he has seen his own true condition. He is not a super spiritual man. He is poor in spirit. He has obtained mercy from God to approach the foot of the cross with a broken heart, confess that he is empty and he is in need of God. That is the first thing. Next is mourning in verse 4. He realizes that he has obtained a lot of mercy from God. for a lot of sins that he committed. So he mourns because of all his past sins against such a loving God. Next is meekness in verse 5. Because the Lord was willing and ready to overlook his offenses, he is meek and gentle. He is weaned from the world. He is submissive to the Lord, and he is ready to overlook the offenses of others. After that is, he hungers and thirsts for righteousness. Verse 6, he has a spiritual appetite, desiring to be close to God, to be right with God, to be reconciled with God. He desires what is right. And finally, verse 7, he is merciful. Merciful people have already obtained mercy from God. The fact that they show mercy to others is unavoidable. It is the result of what has been shown to them. They are not merciful because they were born tender-hearted. Nobody is naturally tender-hearted. I hate to say it, none of you were born tender-hearted. But there is an order leading to it. Their new relationship with God has made them poor in spirit. It has made them mourn over their sin. It made them meek and lowly. Then they had a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. And that hunger and thirst to be right with others makes them merciful to others. Then others will be merciful to them. They will obtain mercy from others. Now, what makes us unmerciful? Several things. Number one, pride. Thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought to. A prideful person is mostly concerned with himself, not with others. A prideful person will not be merciful. The next thing, jealousy and envy. Comparing ourselves with others. Looking, desiring what they have. It will drown whatever little mercy we might have, being over-concerned with material things and concerned with what they have and we don't have. Another thing, a big one, number three, is gossip. Receiving it or repeating it. Many believers are unmerciful that way. A merciful person stops all gossips as soon as he or she can. Another thing, false witness, lies, deceit. Those things are not acts of mercy. Unforgiveness, refusing to forgive the sin of others. That is being unmerciful. There are many examples in the Bible of good examples of those who were merciful. The Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10. Both the priest and the Levite, they passed the other side of the street. They ignored the man who had been beaten and robbed. Apparently, I was told that a Sunday school teacher asked a kid why the priest and the Levite did not stop. And the kid said, because the man had been robbed already. I don't know where they get that stuff. The priest and the Levite might have had some pity for the man, but not mercy. Pity is not mercy. The Samaritan man had compassion. He was merciful. He stopped. He helped. He paid for the man. Pity only moves them out. Oh my, what a terrible thing. That's pity. Mercy moves the heart, and it moves the hands to help out. Another man in the Bible, Joseph, he was sold by his brothers. They rejected him. But when he had the authority, he could have gotten even with them. But he told his brothers, do not be angry with yourselves because you sold me. Thank God he was a merciful man. He really had the power to get even with his brothers. Moses, another man who was merciful, after his sister Miriam rebelled against him, the Lord afflicted her with leprosy. Apparently she was white with leprosy. And Moses could have said, good for you. You deserve it. That will teach you not to mess with God's anointed. That's what I would say. But but not him. He cried to God, heal her now, O God, I beg you. He had compassion for his sister. He was a merciful man. David is another man. Several times King Saul, his own father-in-law, attempted to kill him. Gotta watch for those in-laws, you know what I mean? He was jealous of David, and he tried everything to get rid of him. When God brought Saul in David's hand, David spared his life. He could have killed him, but he did not touch the man. He was merciful. Another man in the book of Acts, chapter 7, is Stephen. He preached a beautiful sermon to the council members. The people did not like his sermon at all. They stoned him and they killed him. I tell you, preaching is a very dangerous job. One pastor at the door was told by a lady. She did not like his sermon. She said, if you were my husband, I would put poison in your tea. He looked at her and smiled. He said, if you were my wife, I'd drink it. But before Stephen died, he prayed. He said, Lord, do not lay this sin to their charge. Stephen was a merciful man. Last but not least, the Lord Jesus, when they crucified him unjustly, he could have shown them who he was. He could have dispatched legions of angels from heaven to wipe them all off the face of the earth. But no, he interceded for them. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do, in Luke 23. That is merciful. Now, what would be good examples of showing mercy today, in this day and age, for us? Number one, not receiving, believing, or repeating slander and gossip. There would be no slanderers, no gossipers, if there were no receivers and repeaters of gossip. With no customers, it would go bankrupt. When there is no demand for an article, they stop producing it. If we will not receive evil reports, the talebearer will stop this evil trade. But suppose the information is true, and it is believable. The merciful person will show mercy by not repeating it. Another thing, not getting even when we have the mean to do so. The merciful person will not try to get even with someone who has hurt him. Another thing, number three, not stumbling others or tempting others beyond what they are able to bear. God promised never to do that to us, and we should not either do it to others. It is a form of mercy not to tempt others. Number four, not expecting too much from people. Not to overload them, overexpect from them more than what they would want to be expected from us. Merciful also means to be considerate, to be compassionate. And last but not least, forgiving the person who has offended you. Let it go. Do not hold grudges against that person. That's unmerciful. So that would be showing mercy today. Showing mercy is a gift of the Spirit. Romans 12, verse 8. Paul tells us there how to use that gift. And he says simply, with cheerfulness. The only way to be merciful is doing it cheerfully. Not forced to, I have to be merciful. God said I have to forgive. No, cheerfully, doing it for the Lord. Many Christians would like to be able to exercise the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Here is an excellent way. Be merciful. Be a merciful person and do it with cheerfulness. God will bless you and you will be happy. Mercifulness leads to happiness. And then Luke 6, I'll read this and I close with this. Jesus gave four rules for the Christian life in Luke chapter 6. Verse 27, he says there, verse 27, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other cheek. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you. And from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But give your enemies, but love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the highest, for he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Four rules in there. Rule number one is concerning love. Love your enemy and those who hate you. God loved us while we were yet sinners. We were his enemies. He gave his only son to die for us. What a great love. So that's rule number one. Concerning love, don't be picky and choosy on who you are going to love. Love them all, even your enemies. Rule number two is concerning blessing. Bless those who curse you, Jesus said. Do not render evil for evil. When you face cruelty, injustice, injury, or any wrong, be merciful. Rule number three is concerning prayer. Pray for those who spitefully use you. It's easy to pray for our good friend when they are in trouble. But Jesus said, go beyond that. And then concerning giving, rule number four, give to everyone who asks. Give your goods, give your coat, give to the poor. All these are acts of mercy. In verse 32, we are not to let our love be like the love of the sinners. Verse 33, we are not to let our works be like the works of the sinners. In verse 34, we are not to let our grace be like the grace of the sinners. We need to be merciful, just like our Father in heaven also is merciful, Jesus said. So what makes us merciful is the grace of God. If we are not merciful, it's because we have never understood the grace and the mercy of God that we have received. God has extended mercy to us. He desires us to extend it to others. And he has promised that mercy will be obtained from others. So let's examine ourselves this morning. Are we merciful? Do we have compassion for the victims of the world, the victims of the flesh, the victims of the devil? And this is the test. Yes, the world is getting worse and worse every day. Yes, we live in a cold world, totally insensitive to the needs of others. But we can make a difference. We can show them mercy. The world will not know mercy unless some people show them mercy. You and I are those people. Let's show them mercy. So blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. The legalist, the judgmental, the ungrateful, the unmerciful, these people are not happy. They can never find happiness. But we read today that happiness comes to those who are merciful. Being merciful leads to happiness. This is how to be happy. Listening to this and thinking about it, you might be a bit discouraged that you are not that merciful. You should not be bummed out. We said earlier, no one was born tender-hearted. It's not in our DNA. But you can ask God. Since the Bible says it is a gift of the Holy Spirit, you can ask for that gift. You can ask Jesus to give you that gift, to make you merciful, to be used by God to extend mercy in the lives of others. And then be sure that mercy will be extended to you. Your life will improve. You will find happiness in your life because it's a promise of Jesus. Blessed are the merciful. Oh, how happy they are. And you will be happy when you are merciful with others. And when something happens to you, you're going to see a lot of people being merciful to you. It's a great way to live. God loves us. He wants us to be happy. He wants us to live great lives. So ask Him. Ask Him for that gift. Lord, I want to be merciful. Give me that gift. And He will give it to you. And you will have a great life. So may the Lord be with you. May the Lord bless each and every one of you. May He bless your home, bless your family, bless your work starting tomorrow. And may the Lord give to you that beautiful gift of being merciful. And may you be merciful all the days of your life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.